Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrie. Thank you for tuning in. A proposal that would create and fund tribally run public schools inched closer to reality on Thursday. The House Tribal Affairs Committee moved House Bill 59 over to the Education Committee. If the Alaska legislature passes it, five tribes would get close to $17.5 million for the first year to run pilot programs for traditionally compacted schools across the state. Despite the short amount of time left in this year's legislative session and a nearly $2 billion deficit in the budget, bill authors and supporters are hopeful the program will happen eventually. Misha Jackson is a tribal education liaison for the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. She says she hopes public support during the legislative process highlights the importance of kickstarting the program sooner.
I am really hopeful. I think I'm just so passionate about education. I truly believe anything is possible, especially as an educator. We can seem to do anything on a whim's notice and get it done and do it really well.
Jackson says Tlingit and Haida will move forward with plans for its own education campus, even if the legislature doesn't approve tribal compacting this year. The House Tribal Affairs Committee updated the bill and sent it to the House Education Committee for consideration. Representative Andy Story is on both committees and laid out next steps.
We'd like to bring in some of the school districts from the area where the tribal schools will be and just talk about issues about how it will affect districts and if anything should be done.
Joel Isaac is a consultant for tribal compacting with the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. He says the state and tribes will continue working on the program even if the bill doesn't pass this year.
We're hoping the legislature will keep this moving forward, and we're also willing to keep working at this to make it be the bill that it needs to be, which we feel very strongly that this bill takes us there and that the legislature can keep supporting this effort.
The bill is expected to be heard by the House Education Committee next Wednesday. Hundreds in Juneau joined thousands nationwide last night as protests surged for International Workers Day, also known as May Day. Protesters gathered to call for better working protections and other causes at the Alaska State Capitol. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has this story.
Get up! Get down! Juneau is a union town! Get up!
Get down! Juneau is a union town! Get up!
Cardboard signs began to crumble, and paint drips down as hundreds of protesters wave signs and brave the rain. They're outside the Alaska State Capitol in downtown Juneau to advocate for worker and union rights and to speak out against recent policies implemented by the Trump administration. Eric Antrim is the recording secretary for the local National Federation of Federal Employees Union, which represents hundreds of forest service workers in Alaska.
Our brothers and sisters in the labor movement have been standing shoulder to shoulder with federal employee unions in protests throughout this troubled country. My National Federation of Federal Employees Union is more than 100 years old. We are not going anywhere, no matter how many illegal executive orders Trump signs.
Hundreds of federal employees in Alaska have lost their jobs amid President Donald Trump's plan to diminish the federal workforce. According to recent city data, the federal government is Juneau's second largest employer after the state, with more than 700 workers. Local groups organized the rally, which also tackled broader issues going on across the nation, like the dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Hune Lance Twitchell is an award-winning writer and professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. He was one of a handful of speakers at the rally.
When I go places, I say, my name is Hune. I'm also known as Lance. My middle names are diversity and equity and inclusion.
Twitchell called on ralliers to stay united amid what he called attacks on indigenous and civil rights by the Trump administration.
Just because someone could say something the loudest and the strongest, and you could write your name to a piece of paper saying this word is illegal now. Nobody can use this word or we'll take all the money away. That's not how things work in this country.
The rally concluded with an Alaska Native song and dance before attendees marched to the cruise ship docks. It was one of more than 15 rallies at the Capitol that have been held since the Trump administration took office. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And child advocacy centers are places where children who have experienced or witnessed abuse can access many of the services they need. Alaska centers were funded with federal money for the past decade, but now the state has to foot the bill. As lawmakers decide whether to fund the services, Juneau nonprofits are trying to increase their visibility. KTOO's Jamie Deep joined a superhero walk last Saturday to see what's at stake if child advocacy centers lose significant portions of their funding.
Families, community members, and dogs in superhero costumes gathered on the airport dike trail in Juneau on a rare sunny Saturday morning. The Southeast Alaska Family Evaluation, or SAFE, Child Advocacy Center, Juneau Animal Rescue, and a nonprofit supporting survivors of domestic and sexual violence set up tents by the trail, handing out dog treats, bubbles, and capes for their first superhero walk. Six-year-old Rex Reed was at the event dressed in a Spider-Man and T-Rex costume.
I was supposed to be Spider T-Rex, but my T-Rex Max is kind of lost.
The superhero walk is part of the three nonprofits' effort to raise awareness on different types of abuse. It's a lighthearted event that celebrates how anyone can be a superhero when it comes to preventing child and animal abuse. Reed says he lost his dinosaur mask, but he was still having a great time hanging out with the animals.
I've been able to put the dog. I also gave some treats.
The effort comes as state funding for child advocacy centers, or CACs, is on the chopping block while the Alaska legislature considers how to resolve a nearly $2 billion deficit in the budget. Jenny Weishaupt is a program manager for the Safe Child Advocacy Center in Juneau. She says state funding for CACs used to come from a federal source that's not available next year. Now the legislature has to decide whether to add their funding to the state budget.
We were told that everything this year is going to be decided at the very end of session in a conference committee, and then up to the governor to decide what will be funded.
Weishaupt says the changes mean Alaska's CACs will be down $5.5 million if the state doesn't fill the gap. So far this legislative session, lawmakers have added that money and taken it out of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year. It's currently not in the latest draft budget. On top of that, the amount they receive in federal funding from the Victims of Crime Act is up in the air.
It's constantly for years at the federal level a question of whether that funding, is stable for states.
She says the Juneau Center has a small $75,000 grant meant to increase training and outreach across Southeast Alaska that can be put toward operations if state funding falls through. But it's not enough to keep the center running as is. She says that's critical to the safety of one of the state's more vulnerable populations. Data from the Annie E. Casey Foundation shows Alaska has one of the highest rates of reported child abuse and neglect in the country and consistently outpaces the national average. If child abuse happens or is suspected, the centers do everything from medical exams and mental health counseling to advocating for children through the life of a case. Staff work on a multidisciplinary team with members from the Office of Children's Services, law enforcement, medical professionals, lawyers, and more. A major role of CACs is to do forensic interviews to confirm if a child has been abused. But not just anyone can do forensic interviews. Weishaupt says the skill requires years of training that others may not have the time to dedicate. Matt Dubois is the investigations commander for the Juneau Police Department and sees their value. He says it would be devastating for police without the work CACs do.
The absence of CAC means children might have to endure multiple interviews with different agencies, which is not only emotionally distressing, but can also undermine the integrity of the evidence in these investigations.
Assistant District Attorney Jennifer Chowdhury says the forensic interviews CACs provide are important when it comes to prosecuting people while avoiding traumatizing children.
With the CACs, that's a good way to get that evidence, to get that video testimony, to be able to play in court so that child victims don't have to come in and re-go over every single thing that they've had to talk about already before and go through all of that trauma again.
She says CACs are a neutral space where interviewers can talk to children in a safe space away from other influences like family members or law enforcement officers. Despite the uncertainties, Weishaupt says she's hopeful the state will fund CACs.
I know what government's thinking and considering right now, but this is a cost that I just don't see them not funding. So I have confidence that someone's going to figure out how to fund child advocacy centers in some way.
The legislative session ends May 21st when lawmakers must pass a balanced budget or face a state government shutdown. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And the City and Borough of Juneau will hold its annual How to Run for Local Office workshop this Saturday at City Hall. It's a chance for anyone interested in running for a seat on the Juneau Assembly or School Board to ask questions and learn about what it takes to campaign and serve. The workshop is put on annually by the City, the League of Women Voters, and Friends of the Juneau Public Library. Peggy Cohen with the League of Women Voters spoke about the workshop in an interview on Juneau Afternoon last week.
This workshop hopefully will encourage people who might not know that much about running for office or haven't been involved in a campaign before. It's hopefully help take a little bit of the mystery out of, like, how do you get started?
6 local seats are open for the October 7th municipal election, 3 on the Juneau Assembly and 3 on the Juneau School District's Board of Education. There's no mayoral race this election. The Assembly seats currently filled by members Ella Atkison, Greg Smith, and Wade Bryson will be up for grabs. Both Smith and Bryson are nearing the end of their second full 3-year terms. Atkison is finishing her first partial term after she was elected in 2023 to serve the remaining 2 years of a member who'd resigned. School board seats filled by Dee Dee Sorensen and Emil Mackey will be up this election. There will also be an opportunity to serve a partial term following former member Will Muldoon's abrupt resignation from the board last week. Muldoon was re-elected to serve a second 3-year term last fall. He did not give a reason for his departure. Cohen recommends that people sign up before attending the workshop, but it's not required.
If you get inspired and it's a rainy morning on the Saturday the 3rd and you want to come on in, then you are more than welcome to drop in.
There's also a handful of citizen ballot initiatives that residents may be asked to vote on in this election. The filing period to run for local office will open in mid-July. And a new Alaska law requires all businesses that sell alcohol to post a warning that drinking alcohol can cause breast and colon cancers. It will impact bars, restaurants, and liquor stores. The law also allows Alaskans as young as 18 to serve alcohol with adequate supervision. Representative Andrew Gray, a Democrat from Anchorage, who wrote the bill, says he hopes the cancer warning signs reduce drinking.
This is one-of-a-kind, first-in-the-country language stating that alcohol use specifically can cause colon and breast cancers, which are two of the most common cancers in the country and in Alaska. And I think educating folks that alcohol is a risk factor for those very common cancers is going to save lives.
Research from as far back as the 1980s shows that alcohol increases the risk of cancer. But the alcohol industry, both statewide and nationally, have lobbied against laws requiring health warnings. The new law takes effect August 1st. This is KTOO.